like to read a few verses from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of the people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word on this subject today, pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And as you challenge us, Lord, as you encourage us, may we respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple were having a lot of conflict over the balancing of the checkbook. Tired of having to balance his wife's checkbook, the husband made a deal with her. He would look at it, but only after she'd spent several hours trying to find the problem. The following night, after spending hours of poring over the check stubs and the figures, the wife said proudly, "I've done it. I've made it balance." Impressed, her husband came over to look. "And now let's see," he said. "Mortgage, $550. Electricity, $270.50. Phone, $65. His brow wrinkled as he read the last entry. It said, "ESP, $615. "What in the world is that?" he said to his wife. "Oh," she said, "that means error someplace." She got the books balanced, but didn't she? As this virus continues to challenge our country, we see many people losing their jobs, some of them losing their lives, especially lately in Victoria, going through a terrible time. Those who have their jobs may have to take a salary cut, or they may not get any salary increases, or they have to work longer and harder to make ends meet. We see many people struggling. Maybe you are struggling this morning. Maybe you see some of your family members are struggling because of this virus. Health struggles, even old age struggles. We just can't do what we used to do. We all know that, don't we? I used to jump over the fence when I was younger. Now I walk through the gate. You know, when you get older. But when we are in these stressful situations, be it at work or be in the family or even in retirement, we start to worry and our bodies run down. How can we live a God-centered life in this world that we're living in at this moment? Dear friends, I ask you this question. Are you always in a hurry? Do you use your day off to catch up on all the unfinished work? Has more than one person ever told you to slow down? Do you ever feel guilty when you relax? Is your do list getting bigger and bigger and bigger? Many times our enjoyment is taken away, dear friends, by our busyness. God wants us to live a balanced life with Him being the center of our life. Most of us probably don't live a very balanced life. When you look in the scriptures, Jesus Christ really is the only one who lived a perfectly balanced life. And therefore we must learn from him, because God wants to make us to be in the likeness of his Son. And when God created this universe, and somebody touched on it last week in the lead up of the service, he created it on the principle of balance. The earth is perfectly balanced. if it wasn't, we would be constantly being massaged by the vibrations that this world would, this earth would be going on as it spins around. We might lose some weight from the massage of the vibrations, but it wouldn't be very comfortable. The earth is tilted at just the right axis. You know, 1 degree this way and we will all be burnt to death. 1 degree that way and we'll all freeze to death. Perfectly balanced. When we think of God's creation, it is absolutely amazing. Amazing. The human life has many different systems within your body. And if one of them gets out of balance, we get sick. We get sick. We get our backaches. All these things go wrong. If we don't drink water, we will eventually die. See, all these systems in our body need to be in balance for us to have a healthy lifestyle. Psalms 127:2, and I think they're coming up on the screen there. Psalm 127:2, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Therefore, you and I need to take time out and make sure that we have God in the center of our life. And to have God in the center of our life, we've got to have a balanced life. And then we please God. God is concerned that you and I get the right amount of rest. God wants you and I to live a God-centered life, because then we will enjoy ourselves and know that we are doing God's will. Now, you probably received an outline if you picked one up, and you've got to fill some things in. Now, if you haven't got a pen, you won't be able to fill them in. I'm not preaching next week, so I won't come up and say, did you remember what I said last week? But you can fill it in as you go. The answers will be on the screen. Firstly, I need Jesus Christ as my hub, or as my center, whatever you want to put, as my hub. Remember, dear friends, Jesus lived a perfectly balanced life. Therefore, if I put him in the center of my life, it should help me to live a balanced life. One writer says, imagine your life as a push bike wheel. What's at the center of the wheel? A hub. And there's spokes coming out of it. Now, if those spokes break, the wheel collapses. If you have a good solid center, then you'll have a good solid life, dear friends. Dear friends, if your life is falling apart, it's mostly probably because something's moved from the center. Something other than God is at the center of your life when things are going wrong. And dear friends, Jesus Christ needs to be the first in your first place in your life. He needs to be in the center. So who controls your center this morning? Usually, whatever you think about the most will control your center. It could be work, could be family, it could be pleasure. But Jesus Christ, dear friends, needs to be the center of your life to have a balanced life. Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does it mean to put God first in your life? I don't think you should be thinking about numbers. Number one, God. Number two, what your wife or your husband. Number three, the family. Number four, the church. I don't think that's a good way to think about it. What is the center of our life should be God. So what's in control of your life? Well, what does Jesus say in Matthew 27, verse 37 following? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus Christ summarizes the Bible in these two verses. This is God's will for your life. I need to build my life around Jesus Christ. He must be the center. We must love him with all of our heart and soul and mind. Secondly, if you want to write this in your outline, to lead a God-centered life, I need to know who I am. Sometimes I think we've got to stop pretending that we are God. You know, This is how we often think. I know what to do. I have the answers to everything. You know, if the politicians don't know what they're doing, I know, you know, I can fulfill my own needs. I can work 7 days a week. I don't need rest. We're starting to play the role of God. You and I must realize that we have limitations. We are called, I think, human beings, aren't we? We are not God, so we can't do everything. When you think about it, it's quite dumb to wear yourself out. If you don't get it all done, then everything in the world will crash. No, it won't. Because if you die one day, everything's going to crash. No, it won't. Remember, God is in control of this universe. You're not you and not me. And what often drives to our destruction is other people. We try to please other people. If I don't work more hours, then they'll think I'm lazy. What will so-and-so think? If I work harder, they'll like me more. I encourage you not to let other people manipulate you. Listen, dear friends, God couldn't please everybody. Jesus couldn't please everybody while he was here on earth. And if God can't please everybody, and you're only going to listen to people, then you don't even try to do it. Because you can't please everybody. Always will somebody will be upset with you. I remember a great New South Wales pastor and Bible teacher, Bill Fitchner. Maybe some of you know him or knew him. I've known him for a long, long time, and he's passed away now. And he said, "I could never say no, Jim. I served God with everything. I worked and I worked and I worked. If someone ring up, I'd be out there to see them straight away. I'd never say no. I didn't have time to rest." Then he said to me, "I suffered burnout." He said, "I was lying on a hospital bed for several months. And I was home at nearly for 2 years and couldn't do anything at all. Just couldn't do anything." He said, "For 2 years, God couldn't use me at all because I failed to say no." And he said, during that time, God said to me, "You can say no, Bill. You need rest, just like everybody else does." And he recovered and completed his life with a second coming ministry. The Bible says that God worked 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Now, he didn't get tired. He's God. But God showed us the example. If he is to be the center of our life, dear friends, if we're going to live a balanced life, then we must follow his example. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Paul compares our bodies to jars of clay. In other words, you and I are very fragile. We are easily broken. And our body needs rest. Our body needs a balanced life with God at the center. Thirdly, this morning, write this in. To lead a God-centered life, I need to limit my workload. That's a problem to some people. You have to make an effort to cut down on all the work that you think you've got to do and some of the other things beside work. Even those who are retired still feel that they've got to keep work. I've had so many said time to me, "Oh, I'm busier now than I ever was when I was working." What you do have to decide how many hours of work a week you're going to have work. How many hours a week will you work for the Lord in the church? And then you limit your workload. You work it out. There will be times, of course, when there's emergencies and that, you've got to work longer hours or whatever it might be. But generally, you need to plan out your workload. Dear friends, there will always be more work to be done. I can guarantee if you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, there'll still be more work to be done. You must take time out. Your body needs the rest. And that's not only your nightly sleep. You need a day of rest each seventh day. God designed it that way. I was an old farmer once, and if you rested your paddock 1 year and every seven, it produced twice as much. The day of rest, see? The year of rest. This is one of God's law. It's so important that he even put it in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 verses 9 and 10. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You need the rest. Sabbath means a day of rest. And notice what Jesus said in Mark 2:27. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's for your benefit, dear friends. It doesn't matter what day you choose, as long as you're having a day of rest each week. We choose Sunday as it's a day we can come together and worship. The day of rest is not to catch up on things that you couldn't get done in the other six. That's not what God says. God encourages us to rest our body, to recharge our emotions and focus on Him. Fourthly, write this down. I need to adjust my values. I need to adjust my values. We get out of balance, dear friends, because our values get out of balance. Work might take over our values. All we do is work. Materialism might take over our values. All we want to do is work more and get more money so we can buy more things. We might try to keep up with the Joneses, and you know what you end up doing is working for the Joneses, trying to keep up with the Joneses. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, and I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Dear friends, we have to learn to be content with what we've got. Mark 8:36 says, what good is it of a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? What good is it for a man to become the managing director of a company and lose his wife? What good is it a woman to get a career promotion and spend so much time in working that she loses her children or her husband? What good is it for a person to get so involved in busyness that they lose their relationship with God? And over the years, and John probably has too, seen many people like that. Which leads us to our fifth point. Write this down if you've got a pen. I need to feed my soul. You need to look after your spiritual life to have a God-centered life and to have a life of balance. Many people spend a lot of time in physical exercise. I see them at Riverbend, but spend very little time in feeding their soul. Spending time alone with God. We can feed our soul with trash, or we can feed it with God. We get too busy doing things that God gets pushed aside. Time alone with God, dear friends, is so important to you. And you know, sometimes it was so important to you to be alone with God, and all of a sudden you haven't got the time to have your daily quiet time. You've got so much on your plate that your relationship with God starts to dwindle. You know what suffers most when you're too busy? Two things: your health and your relationship with God. Jesus was busy. He had a lot to do, but he never let that interfere with his rest and his relationship with the Father. Look at the Bible verse that I read earlier from the Scriptures. Luke 5:15-16. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. And Jesus could have said, I've just got to heal them. I've got to work. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He needed to be fed spiritually from his Father. And if Jesus needed it, so do you and I, dear friends. We must feed our soul. Charles Swindoll said that he went into a home where there was a beautiful stone fireplace with a wooden mantle over the top. And he walked over to see what was carved in it. And this is what it said: "If your heart is cold, my fires cannot warm you." See, dear friends, three-car garages cannot warm a warm heart. Working 7 days a week can't warm a cold heart. What can when you nourish your soul with God? Psalm 119, verse 16, the Bible says, "I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." And our last point, sixthly, I need to enjoy life. Write that down. I need to enjoy life. And it's hard in this time we're going through at the moment, isn't it, to enjoy life. There's so many things we can't do and not allowed to do. God wants us to enjoy life, not to be overcome by it. He wants us to enjoy ministry for him, not to be burdened by, "Oh, I've got to do this for the Lord. I've got to do this for the Lord. I've got to do this for the Lord." And you become burdened with ministry. You're not enjoying life. You're not enjoying your ministry. Remember, if God asks you to do something, he will give you the gifts and the abilities and the time to do it. But you don't take on 20 different things that you've got to do for God. You take on the ones that God's guided you to take on. If it's God's wills for you, then you will be able to do whatever he asks you to do. The problem we have is that we have so many things on our plates that need not to be there. Don't get so busy that the enjoyment goes out of what you are doing, dear friends. Ecclesiastes 3:13, I love this verse in the Old Testament, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil, or in his toil. This is a gift of God. Isn't that a beautiful verse? That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. The problem is often we might have the wrong goals in our life. Life's goal is not to have more money or to be wealthy or have the best car on the street, even though nothing is wrong with any of those things. Nothing is wrong with them. But they should not be the goal of our life. Our goal is to know God and to love him and to form a relationship with him, to grow to love him more and enjoy his presence every moment, and to help others by using the gifts God has given us. That's what the commandment teaches us. If we work towards these goals, then we will be doing God's will and we will enjoy our life, dear friends. And I love this verse from Proverbs 14:30. It's not from the NIV, it's from the New Living Translation. I love this verse. Listen, a relaxed attitude lengthens life. How about that? If you're not all stressed out all the time and you relax, you're going to live longer. That should be good. As one person says, there are three types of fatigue: physical, emotional, and spiritual. The physical is cured by rest each week, but the other two are not quite as simple. To cure the other two, you have to get plugged into the power, and that's God's power. Put Jesus Christ in the center of your life. Dear friends, as we close, as a Christian leader, a Christian husband, Christian wife, Christian son or daughter, you can easily take Christ out of your center. You can put ministry as your center. You can put church as your center. You can put family as your center. But what we need to have in the center is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with any of the other things, but they must not be the center of our life. Each of us need Jesus Christ as the center of our life. You know, when we get tired and weary, these verses from the Bible are so wonderful and you want to learn them. They're wonderful. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Look what it says. Jesus invites you, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon me, not everybody else's yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, not from everybody else. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God doesn't want you loaded up and burdened down. He wants you to build your life around his son Jesus Christ, to have him as the center of your life. He wants you to realize that you're a human and you can't do everything. He wants you to limit your workload and to adjust those values and feed your soul by spending time with him. He wants you to enjoy life, enjoy your ministry, enjoy your work, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends. He wants you to enjoy them, not be burdened down by them. And remember, dear friends, in our lives today, which is so difficult to what it, different to what it used to be, all the problems that we might have at the moment, as I said last week, remember, God says, I will be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to live a balanced life, Lord. We want you to be the center of our life. And Lord, sometimes we just wander off. We get so busy with things, Lord, and all of a sudden we realize that we're not spending the time with you as we used to spend with you, Lord. Help us to get back on track. Help us, Lord, to apply some of these principles in our lives today that we might be able to have you as the center of our life. Forgive us, Lord, when we get so busy with other things that we fail to take time out with you. Help us, Lord, to remind ourselves we need to spend time with you each day because you want us to be the center of our life. You want us to be more like your son, who always found time to set aside the busyness of life and to talk to you. So Lord, help us in our daily lives to be the people you want us to be. We thank you in Jesus' name.